What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Monday. This is Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can hear us on the ESPN app. And, of course, you can stream us on Twitch if you'd like to say hey.
Sean
Mapes is our producer behind the glass. As always, how you doing, Paul? Good weekend?
Oh, my God. I'm feeling great. Did you watch yesterday's Celtics-Nets
game? It was awesome.
That was an incredible basketball
game. And you
game.
Still put on for the Celtics.
Yes.
You're not like you haven't abandoned them and bandwagoned the same way that you have an MLB.
Whoa, hang on.
I mean,
that's accurate. But yes, the Patriots and Celtics are the two bandwagons I will never jump off at any point in my life.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the Red Sox, sorry. They hit the road because I got two new lovers. I got the Houston Astros and, yeah, I got the Seattle Mariners. I'm not going to lie. This was a weird weekend for me, Vanessa, watching baseball.
Torn between two lovers.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
It was weird. I still know that I clearly like the Astros more than I like the Mariners, but there's a part of me here that's like, oh yeah, they're really good. I had something good and I'm not there anymore. And there's a part of me that's a little bitter about it.
My boo.
Yes, exactly.
There's
like that.
There's always that one baseball team that'll always have your heart.
Wow, that's a very specific song. I don't think those are the actual lyrics.
Yeah, it's by Usher and Alicia Keys. Look it up.
So
you were happy that the Mariners won?
No, I wasn't. But I mean, it was a painful feeling watching them and remembering. Oh yeah, I was in on the ground floor of this. And then somebody walked me into the room like I was Joe Pesci and shot me in the back of the head.
Yikes.
And then I don't get to root for them anymore.
Well, Paul has two loves. He did work in Seattle, in case you missed it for a while. He abandoned his Red Sox, which is probably the first time I've ever heard of a Boston fan abandoning a team.
I'm a novelty.
But he did abandon the Red Sox and roots for the Astros first and foremost, but has a side chick named the Seattle Mariners.
I wanted both teams to have fun. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed in the Astros because both teams did not have fun. The Mariners kind of kicked their asses this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
11-1 on Friday. Justin Verlander's great on Saturday night. And then yesterday, it's a 7-2 loss. And I am looking at this team and I can't help but think the same way that, you know, Valcone in The Dark Knight, hey, you're going to embarrass me in front of my friends. I feel like the Astros embarrassed me in front of my friends. My Seattle friends, they, you know, you made me
this
look
bad. This is what happens when you're torn between two lovers, but I'm glad you had a good weekend. I had a good weekend, too.
Good.
I had a birthday. It was
happy
good.
Birthday.
Thank you. It was fun. It was relaxed. It was exactly what I wanted.
Not a me birthday.
We'll do, yeah, not a
Paul Gallant.
Not a hurricane
birthday.
Blackout.
Waking up on a couch with one sock
missing.
It
was like a couple of drinks and a good meal, and I'll do birthday things in the future when I actually feel like it.
Gotcha.
But good weekend overall. All right, home opener tonight. It's going to be a fun one. The Astros hosting the Angels at Minute Maid Park. There is a lot planned tonight. 10,000 fans are going to receive a Yordan Alvarez with the ALCS trophy bobblehead.
Hell yeah.
There's going to be a street fest. The national anthem is going to be performed by the winner of The Voice. There's going to be a flyover.
Ooh.
This is, of course, according to the Astros PR staff, if you can't tell.
Okay.
But that's going to, but it is going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be the first season of complete baseball we've seen in Houston in a long time.
I mean, because of the way that things started off this year, the Astros are the team that ended up playing the longest road stretch to open the year, which sucks, and it's a part of the lockout.
It's a 9-game road trip.
If you're a league champion, I'm sorry, you should open the season at home. I don't think there's any
weren't
debate
they supposed
about it.
To?
They were, and they should have found a way to make that still happen. Am I a snob? Am I a Karen for wanting that? Perhaps, but they should have made it happen. And you know what, Vanessa? I hope the bats wake the bleep up because it's early. And I know a lot of people that talk about baseball and follow baseball religiously get annoyed when people like me are reactive, but it's been 9 games and you're hitting like crap.
I'm not worried about it at all.
You're not worried about it at all.
I think Kyle Tucker and Jose Altuve will eventually find their grooves. I think they're going to be fine. I think there's some rust from a shortened spring training. Why does it concern you so early on?
Well, you got Bregman and you got Yuli too. I mean, 15 runs and 40 hits the last 7 games. They slashed 208, 289, and 372 and averaged 3.4 runs a game. And honestly, most of the runs that they've scored, of the 31 that they've scored to open the year, they came in one game, one inning against the Angels. 8. They're not hitting with guys in scoring position. And look, it's early. I get it. Okay? But the reason I'm concerned, and if we're going to introduce the Nick Cage scale of panic, Vanessa, which is something
you had to explain this to me.
We did while we were away. Well, Nick Cage, in every movie that he's in, he freaks out a million times. So it's a good way to just, I think, measure freaking out, sort of in the same way that we do with DEFCON for, like, you know, whether or not we're about to be in a nuclear war or if things are fine. And I like to do it 1 through 5 with Nick Cage. So right now I'm at a 2 on the Nick Cage scale of panic.
But I'm at a 2, and I'm not worried about it at all.
Okay.
So that means you're more like a 3.
Perhaps I'm trending towards a 3, then.
You are trending. You're definitely a 3. Because I'm at, like, meh. I'm like, eh. I've just, like, scooted on a 2 for a level of panic.
If you're feeling like you're a 2, because DEFCON 1 is like you don't, is essentially like, hey, this is not a big deal. Wait, hang on. Is it DEFCON 5? I forget the DEFCON. Forget it. We'll reevaluate that side of it. But if you, for the sake of being more concerned than you, Vanessa, I'm at a 3. And that 3 sounds like this, Sean Mapes, behind the glass.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole!
That's when we're getting a little tense. And I'm only tense because of this, okay? Because I realize it's early. I'm just annoyed with all the people that are saying some of the excuses that you just said. Like, this is the Astros. Oh, so they haven't had the whole starting lineup.
But it's only 9 games in.
I get it. It's only 9 games in, Vanessa.
They haven't played at home yet.
That's 1/16th of the season. I get that they had the long
road. Wow, hashtag math.
They had a long road trip to open up the year. The opening day lineup, complete lineup, has only played once. Not a full spring training. Blah, blah, blah. They're still the Astros. Let's stop making excuses for a team that has been to 5 straight American League Championship Series. Don't we have standards? I have standards.
But Correa would go through slumps last year. And he, you know, it's like...
Yes, the slow starters.
Slumps are slumps. They happen.
We did hear from Alex Bregman, who was asked about the spring training problems. And I'll give Alex Bregman credit for not making excuses yesterday after the Mariners lost to the Astros lost to the Mariners.
The shortened spring training, is that having some effects right now, or is that a valid excuse?
No. I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, guys are doing a good job executing pitches against us. We're going to get back home. It's going to be nice to, you know, sleep in our own bed. And just keep building off of it, you know. I mean, it's a long season. A lot of us are notorious slow starters, so give it time.
See, not worried about it at all. He's always chill, though. Alex Bregman is always chill.
I'm glad that he didn't make any excuses there. I'll be honest, though, Vanessa, I'm annoyed with the Dusty Baker ones.
Yeah. Okay, let's cue the Dusty Baker audio up. This is what Dusty said after...
This one Friday night after the 11-1 loss. Right. And he's been consistent with this, saying, like, look, I mean, there's going to be a slow start, but okay, like, all 30 teams in baseball are dealing with this. The Astros seem to be dealing with it harder than most.
Here's Dusty.
Well, this time, you know, I mean, I told you this when we started. Time and or we're gonna have to see a fastball pitcher and get our timing, you know, like that. But you know, we're missing one of our big boys, Alvarez. Hopefully, we get him back soon. And you know, he kind of makes our lineup, he's our foundation man in the middle. So, you know,
it's got like a generator behind us,
and they kind of, you know, they beat us up pretty good tonight.
No power at the Mariners ballpark because of Antifa, so he's got a generator in his clubhouse.
Nothing really bothers Dusty Baker in general. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a no-excuse type of guy.
But there's been a little too many. That's the only reason I'm concerned right now.
I think there's a difference between a reason and an excuse.
I think they're the same thing with this team. They are the best team in baseball. They have been for 5 years in a row, and I feel like we can call them when they're not hitting well. I mean, come on. The Mariners, you're better than the Mariners. The Mariners, all of a sudden, have added some bats this offseason, have added some pitching, but you're still better than that team.
You don't think we should let them get through the homestand before we worry?
Listen, I feel like we should talk about baseball in a way where we're passionate about it every single day. And I think there are so many people that are like casual. Oh, it's just been 10 games. Screw that. Do you want us to just go home? Like, show starts. Well, Astros aren't hitting well. Or do we care? Nope. All right, let's go home.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
I know it's not what you're saying. I'm saying it's what others are, like, that have responded to me, like, Paul, it's early. And I get it. It's early.
It is early.
But you know who I am. I'm overreactionary. And I'm annoyed by the excuses. So the excuses have made me feel a little bit higher on the level of panic than I should. Because I'm just like, look at the list that you guys have put together. They're the Astros. They're a damn good lineup. They should be hitting more than this. That's it. Those are the facts.
The Astros need to step up for Paul Gallant's mental health. Speaking of baseball, we will have Houston native Robert Flores on. That's going to be at 10:30. So hang in there for that for sure. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we talk NBA playoffs. Are you rooting for former Rockets in the NBA playoffs? That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Alongside me is Paul Gallant, at Gallant Says on Twitter. I'm at Sports Vanessa, and our producer is Sean Mapes.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yeah,
hey. Did you like Limp Bizkit?
I mean, and I like a lot of music, but it's like, they're fine.
I love Limp Bizkit.
I'm sure you do.
Fred
That's
Durst,
very
let's
on
get
brand.
It.
I like when he had Eminem beef.
Yeah, he did. And Eminem had a little parting shot at him. And
Without Me, right?
I believe so. It was about he and
Christina Aguilera. Yeah. And Fred Durst and argue who she gave to first.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Flowers.
Exactly. Give the Celtics their flowers. Last night, awesome, awesome game. And it was only a game one. Nets and Celtics. Kyrie Irving on fire. He was brilliant. 39 points, talking trash with the fans. Fans talking trash to him.
He flicked them off.
But at the end of the day.
Twice.
Jason Tatum, last second shot. Celtics win game one.
My
Boston native over here is very happy.
I had a massive pants 10. I'm not going to lie on that one.
Massive what?
You heard what I said. The Mariners and the Astros were playing on my smaller TV. The big TV had the Celtics on, and I was so pumped watching that game. And I got to say, I have never liked Kyrie Irving, even when he was a member of the Boston Celtics. But I gained so much respect for him yesterday for going into Boston, having fun with the fans, flicking the fans off.
Yeah, that was fun.
Talking trash to the fans at halftime. Did anyone see this moment? He's going into the locker room and someone's filming him and he just lobs this one back out of the fam. I loved it.
I loved it.
Look, if you do all of those things and then on top of that you deliver one of the best playoff performances I can remember in the first round, all the while with a hostile Boston crowd in your head the whole game, clearly annoying you to some degree, I got to say, like I gained a ton of respect for Kyrie, which is something I never thought I would say.
Well, here's the thing. Kyrie is definitely his own person. He definitely has his own opinions on things, whether it's the earth being flat, modern medicine, the moon landing, etc. Here's what I will say. I like when athletes make things fun. I like when there's back and forth with fans. I like when there's beef among athletes. I get so annoyed when somebody scores a touchdown and people are like, oh, act like you've been there before. Like, no, sports should be fun. A back and forth and a hateful back and forth, as long as nobody's life is getting threatened with Kyrie Irving and Celtics fans, I thought was very fun.
I think it's great. I mean, look, there are going to be some who are like, yeah, this is just classic Boston crowd, which in their defense, I understand that. There's going to be others who are like, Kyrie went too far, and I feel like this is totally fine. You know what? If you talk trash
to him, people are boring.
He should be allowed to talk trash back to you. And
yes.
He did it in a way where he actually backed it up, too. Like, Russell Westbrook with the Westbrook stuff. Like, Westbrook has been essentially trying to intimidate people that are calling him Westbrook on the sidelines, which I get. I mean, if you're going to call him Westbrook, then at least do it to his face when he comes over. But in this situation, Kyrie just went at the crowd the whole game. There are parts of him and his back and forths with Boston that I don't get. Like, he can't comprehend why people in Boston don't like him. And it's like, right. No, we're very petty. You didn't play well here. You said you wanted to come back, and then you left. Like, that was the whole deal. It's as simple as that. But in this game, I loved it, and I would like to see more of it. And you know who couldn't do that? And I wonder how he's feeling. I know that the Sixers won the first game against the Raptors on Saturday. But Harden would have crumpled like a absolute wuss in that setting. He would not have been able to handle it. He would have crumpled like we have always seen him crumple when the pressure's on him. I wonder how he feels seeing how well both Kyrie Irving played in this game, because that was the reason that he forced his way out of Brooklyn to Philly.
Yeah, I saw something on the internet. It was a couple months ago, or maybe even over a year ago, that basically said the internet has made people too comfortable with talking smack without getting punched in the face.
And that's so true.
If you come to a game, especially if you have like courtside seats, and you are talking the most smack to a player, especially one that, quite frankly, is a little crazy like Kyrie Irving, I think you know what you're going to get. But some former Rockets in the playoffs, and I always am curious. You and I have talked about how this generation, especially of young people, the young folk, they tend to root more for players than teams.
Yeah, a lot of them do. There's a lot of LeBron stands out
there.
There
are a lot
there,
of LeBron
sure.
stands. Are you somebody that finds yourself rooting for former Rockets as they continue in the playoffs, whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's Pat Bev, James Harden? I don't think you or I was big. I wanted P.J. Tucker to win.
So I'm not going to be one of these embarrassing people because, the town that I grew up in did it once. It was super embarrassing. The Boston Bruins traded Ray Bourque, like one of their best players ever, to the Colorado Avalanche. And Boston hadn't won a title in forever, and they threw a parade for Ray Bourque. Like, it was the most embarrassing thing ever. And there are some people here, when it comes to Houston athletes, that will say, like, I'm rooting for James Harden elsewhere. I'm rooting for other players elsewhere. Maybe they're doing it with Carlos Correa now in Minnesota. And to me, okay, I'm not going to go that far. But especially with the way that things ended between James Harden and Chris Paul, here, where it felt like Chris Paul was blamed for the Rockets' shortcomings, I'm 100% rooting for Chris Paul, who I've never liked until he ended up being sent off from the Rockets, because I feel like he's turned that Phoenix club around. I'm, of course, rooting for Patrick Beverley, my spirit animal, who...
I can't believe you like Patrick Beverley.
Why? This is how... Vanessa, when I play pickup basketball, like, that's who I am.
What is it about Patrick Beverley that Paul Gallant is so drawn to?
Because he's angry and he gives a crap, and some people just don't have that ability to do it every single day in any aspect of life, let alone in a sport, and some people think it's fake, whatever. I think the guy brings it all the time, so I love Beverley. P.J. Tucker was... also one of my favorite Rockets. And now, I mean, we're going to see what he's going to be able to do this year. But P.J. Tucker's a damn good player, too. So I am actually rooting for just about all of the ex-Rockets. It's just weird to see them strewn all over the place with the team, you know, in the situation where it is right now. Where you got, I know in the Houston Chronicle, they've been putting together like a series of like recapping every single Rocket season. And I think John Wall came up the other day. And I was like, oh my God, what a terrible year this was. I forgot he was even on
the
team.
He's still on the team, technically.
He got his own article for that.
It's unbelievable.
Rocket in review, John Wall.
He just decided not to play. And Rafael Stone, I'll never forget at the Post-Oak Media Day at Tillman Fertitta's hotel. Yeah, what'd you say?
That must have been, you know, that must have been awesome. Must have been awesome for him.
I mean, literally sat up there with John Wall and looked at reporters and was like, well, I mean, we're two adults. Like, we went and had drinks about it. Like, it's just like the best thing for both sides. Is it the best thing for both sides not to play?
It's definitely not.
Makes no sense.
The Rockets are such little weenies when it comes to this, too. Like, they enjoy getting bullied. You know, and it's one thing when it's John Wall doing it, who at least has a track record of clout, or it's Russell Westbrook, or it's James Harden. Like, I kind of get it with those guys. But when all of a sudden, like, you're making excuses for Kevin Porter Jr., who's having a temper tantrum in halftime and, like, going home, or Christian Wood. And, I mean, my God, like, grow a backbone, Rockets, please. Thank you. That would be nice.
If you're rooting for one former Houston Rocket in the playoffs, who is it? Let us know on Twitter. Twitch us, tweet us, text us.
If I got to pick between all of them, there were some people that brought to my attention some things that I should be maybe a little bit more aware of when it comes to Patrick Beverley. And I suppose that Chris Paul's entire track record with some of the very old man
I just want him to win one. So that's why I'm on board for CP3.
That's fair. I like these Miami Heat. There's something about them that I just really get a kick out of. And PJ Tucker is awesome. I really enjoy PJ Tucker. By the way, another ex-Rocket, this is a real blast from the past, but he was, during that weird 2011-2012 season, a guy who played really well yesterday. You remember Goran Dragic?
Yeah.
Goran Dragic was on the Rockets for like 1 year. This was before James Harden came over. They had Kyle Lowry and Goran Dragic in the backcourt that year. They were both like these kind of like not thought of at all players because Kevin Martin was the Rockets' best player at the time, and then it was Luis Scola. Both those guys balled in 2011-2012.
Luis Scola. I liked him with the Pacers, too.
Did you like the hair?
I loved the hair.
Yeah.
I loved the hair.
The hair.
Some guys can pull off that long hair.
You have to be from South America.
You have to have certain things going for you, but some guys can pull it off.
Yeah.
Not everybody can. PJ, so this is what perennial all-star says. PJ already has a ring, so that itch has been scratched. I agree with that. If PJ Tucker didn't have a ring, I would be rooting for PJ Tucker because I always liked he's really nice in the locker room, etc.
That's fair. I just like the way the Heat play. It's crazy just thinking about Eric Spoelstra and his time as a head coach in the NBA. I mean, who would have thought that he's actually one of the best coaches in basketball?
Yeah.
And he really is. He's been, I mean, the way that the Heat develop young players where guys that are like eighth men and ninth men are actually competent out there. I mean, you look at them and compare it to some of these other teams like Brooklyn and Boston. I mean, there's no Kevin Durant, there's no Jason Tatum on the Heat, and yet they're the one seed and no one talks about him either. Like, continuously underappreciated and underrespected.
We love the animosity between Kyrie and fans, and Kyrie Irving did talk about this in the press conference after the game. Here's Kyrie on the back and forth with the Celtics fans.
Look, I'm just where I'm from, you know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but when people start yelling and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. And, you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. That's the playoffs. This is what it is. I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them. It is what it is. I'm not really focused on it. It's fun. You know what I'm saying? And like again, this, where I'm from, I've dealt with so much. So coming in here, you relish it as a competitor. And this, you know, I'm going to keep repeating myself when I say again, but this isn't my first time in TD Garden. So what you guys saw and what you guys think is as entertainment, or the fans think is entertainment, all is fair in competition. So if somebody's going to call me out of my name, I'm going to look at them straight in the eye and see if they really about it. Most of the time, they're not.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
And the thing is that Kyrie is so weird, but he says things like that that are actually very measured and logical. Essentially, to sum it up, it's part of the game. And if you can't handle it, don't come to a game as a fan and don't play in the NBA.
Right. And he really handled it. He was so good in that game. I mean, there are a couple of moments. Like, if you watch the end of that game, Boston played unbelievable defense for the most part in that game. And, I mean, I can't believe that Kyrie wasn't able to wiggle his way out and get some stupid turnaround shot. I was terrified when he had the ball. And credit to Al Horford for coming over on help defense to, because he was just dribbling through the lane, and you thought, okay, he's going to take the last shot. I know he wanted to take the last shot with how much animosity there was there, but he gives it back out to Kevin and Durant, and Durant wasn't able to hit the three, but God, he was terrifying. Like, absolutely terrifying in that game. There have been few times where, as a sports fan, I've just been like, whoa, okay, geez, this
scary.
Is a little scary. And honestly, the last time I can remember it as a Celtics fan was LeBron James in Game 6 of, I think it was the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, where I was just like, oh my God, there's nothing you can do here. So somehow Boston won, and they're honestly lucky to have won that game. That was a hell of a game, and I think this is going to be the best series of perhaps of the playoffs.
Perhaps all the playoffs, yeah. It should be a fun one.
They're going to play physical.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you don't want to miss it. We have Houston native Robert Flores on the line, and we will get to him after the break. First, let me tell you about TGS Insurance. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings for your home insurance, and you don't have to talk to an agent. You probably pay too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a massive hassle. It doesn't have to be a hassle, guys. Thanks to TGS Insurance, they have a new system. It shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in 15 seconds. All you have to do is send a text and you'll save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system's going to ask for your address. Send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The company, the savings, legit. Their online rating, nearly perfect. And their average customer from last year saves over $870 on their home insurance. Nobody likes to shop for home insurance. I know, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only a text away from big savings. So one more time, get out your phone, text M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we're rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I am alongside Paul Gallant, our producer, as always, is Sean Mapes. And we have a special guest now. We're joined by Dobie graduate, University of Houston graduate. He co-hosts MLB Network's MLB Central Monday through Friday. He is a hater of adults that bring baseball gloves to ballparks. Robert Flores, welcome to the show, Rob.
Vanessa, Paul, how are you guys doing? Thanks doing for great. Having me.
Thanks. Did I sum that up well? Was that a good, like, rank that intro 1 to 10?
Yeah, no. I mean, you're definitely accurate. I do not like adults that bring gloves to the ballpark. The same reason I wouldn't like if fans brought basketballs to an NBA game. or I wouldn't like fans bringing a steering wheel to a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
You know, you're just there. You're there to watch. You're not there to play. And let's just, you know, be adults about it.
We know you feel very strongly about this. Definitely on the record. Hey, what are your expectations? You know, the Astros have their home opener today. The offense is off to kind of a rough start. What are your expectations for the Stros this season from this kind of 9-game sample that we have?
I think that they're still going to be the best team in the division when it's all said and done. I think they're off to a slow start offensively, save for a couple of people, including Jeremy Peña, who has exceeded my expectations. Now, granted, it's a small sample size, but I think that the offense, the guys are going to hit. Jose Altuve is not going to hit below 200. Kyle Tucker, he got off to a very slow start last year. And from the beginning of May, he was, by some metrics, the best hitter in the game of baseball since mid-May of 2021 to the end of the season. So I think that you start the season on a 9-game road trip, you finish above 500, they'll take that. They've got the home opener this week. I think that you're going to see them round into form. There are a couple of things that do concern me. Ryan Pressly, the velocity and the knee injury, that's not great. And Lance McCullers, he's got to be right eventually for this team to go where they think that they should belong.
Circling back to Jeremy Peña, I mean, we've seen what he's hitting. Carlos Correa hitting 133. Clearly, the Astros made the right move. I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's a small sample size, but I think it's great for Jeremy to get off to this kind of start because it lets him relax a little bit, breathe, settle in. Offensively, he is doing amazingly well, as you alluded to, and also defensively, too. He's made some outstanding plays in the field, and that's the thing for Jeremy Peña. I said going into this season that the Astros need Jeremy Peña defensively to make nearly all of the routine plays and then occasionally make spectacular plays, and I think so far he's done that.
Incredibly, Justin Verlander still looking like Justin Verlander. And one of the funny things about baseball, Rob, I feel like you can always find a very specific statistic to see a guy's done something that hasn't been done in a really long time. But it was something else to see that, I guess, for the first time since Greg Maddux in 1997, that Justin Verlander, a guy went 8 innings, he had 8 strikeouts, and it took him less than 90 pitches to get there. That's what we saw from him Saturday night against the Mariners. This has really been a great start, and it's very encouraging, obviously, to see, having seen him come off of Tommy John surgery, not pitch in such a long period of time. What do you think this season has in store for him? Because this is really uncharted waters for a guy coming off of Tommy John at that age.
I think you're going to see him continue to be a front-of-the-line rotation starter. Are we going to see him dominate like we did on Saturday consistently? No, there's going to be some hiccups. It's a long run. It is going to be interesting to see how the Astros manage his innings and workload going forward, considering the age and considering the injury as well. But they need that. And I also think that they need, Jose Urquidy, good in his first start, roughed up a little bit yesterday. Luis Garcia, Framber Valdez really couldn't find the plate in his last start. That's why I think Lance McCullers is so important. When he comes back, and assuming his health is right, I think that he becomes a big part of what this rotation can be, because I think when it's right, it's one of the most talented and, more importantly, one of the deeper rotations in all of baseball.
Robert Flores of MLB Network joining us right now on the guest line. Rob, obviously you cover all the teams at MLB Network at length. What's the national narrative behind the Astros? Are we finally past all of the cheating scandal, all of the booing? Like, what is the impression that you get since you do cover all the teams?
I think that from a national media perspective, I think that, you know, that segment of the population, if you will, have moved on. But opposing fan bases, Yankee fans in particular, Dodger fans, they're still salty and feel a certain type of way about it, and which I get. But I think the players, opponents of the Astros, media for the most part, I feel like it's people have moved on and it's become not a tired story, but just one that people have just been able to focus on other things. But it's always going to be there, and you know, especially among certain fan bases. Jose Altuve is always going to get booed on the road. Alex Bregman is always going to get booed on the road. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
That's just how fans are. But for the most part, I think people have turned the page a little bit.
It does feel that way, and I think it's been great to see a lot of players actually speaking up in some sort of defense of the Astros and their character, with the implication that this was probably going on in a lot more places than just the one that we heard the most about here in Houston. Robert, I covered the Mariners for 2.5 years up in Seattle, and I was excited to see what they would be able to do this year. And I mean, what they saw, what you saw from them against Houston this weekend was pretty impressive. How serious of a challenger do you feel like they are in the American League West? Because it is a very young team, and I feel like there's still a lot of things left to be determined with them over the course of this year. It's really dependent on a lot of development.
Yeah, I think that the Mariners are a legitimate threat, a legitimate contender. I definitely have them as a solid playoff contender. I would still submit that the Astros, top to bottom, when it's all said and done, they're going to be the better team and they're going to win the division. The Oakland A's, I believe, as either this morning or yesterday morning, led the league and run scored. I'm not sure how many people had that as a possibility, so... the Texas Rangers, they're certainly going to be better with Seager and Semien, but they're still, I think, a couple of years away. But to your point, I think the Mariners are a legitimate threat. Here's the thing that concerns me about the Mariners. They had a negative run differential last season.
It's crazy.
And they won a lot of games, last at bat, a lot of late inning comebacks. That's difficult to replicate. But on paper, they've certainly gotten better. I love the Jesse Winker addition. Logan Gilbert is maybe the best young pitcher that isn't talked about enough nationally. So, yeah, the Mariners are going to be a legitimate threat moving forward, no doubt.
All right, Robert, I want your take on other things Houston sports, because I talked to you and I know that you have opinions. So give me your take on the Texans. Davis Mills, do you like him? Do you hate him? What are they going to do this season?
Well, I mean...
It's underwhelmed.
Sure. Well, they might as well just give him another shot, right? I mean, he was serviceable under just terrible circumstances.
Yeah, David Coley is his head coach. And
Yeah, so why not? I just hope that they can hit with these two first-round draft picks. I hope that the draft really goes well for that, you know, vest-wearing genius that they got going over there. So
all right, go ahead.
I trust Nick. I trust Nick. I hope he can pull it off, and I hope that this is the start of something big for the Houston Texans.
All right, University of Houston Cougars football. What did you see from them last year? They had a good season. What do you think they do this season?
I love where we're at as a school from both the football and basketball perspective.
Yeah.
I am really, you know, excited about what Dana Holgorsen can do moving forward. I mean, they did lose, what's the young kid, the McCaskill, Alton McCaskill.
Alton.
Yeah, they lost him to a knee injury. So, but they got that big transfer who's from the Houston area. He transferred in from USC. So, I mean, I feel like we're in a good spot. We're in a good place as a school, as an administration, the whole thing.
Any former Houston Rockets that you're rooting for in the playoffs, whether it's Harden, CP3, Beverly?
No.
Good. Good.
I will root for Pat Beverly. I will root for Chris Paul.
Good.
But James Harden, never.
Yeah, we're the same.
Ever.
Good. It's a good man right there.
All right, Robert Flores, MLB Network. Robert, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Shout out to all the people watching on the Twitch stream. That chat is crazy. You guys monitor that? You guys really should monitor the stuff that gets typed out in that.
I enjoy it.
It is not safe for work, that is for sure. Robert
It's like the Wild West over there.
There's not a lot of sports talk happening, that's for sure. He's at Rovo on Twitter.
There's hardly any sports being talked about.
It was last week, Robert. It was just donut talk for legitimately 30 minutes.
Comparing Houston food to the food of other regions and...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We got pulled into it.
Yeah.
Well, it was good.
You guys are doing a great job, so keep it going, and thanks for having
me. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks so much, Robert. He's at Roflo on Twitter. You should follow him for all of his hashtag takes and sports opinions. And, of course, you can watch him co-host MLB Network's MLB Central with Lauren Shahadi and Mark DeRosa starting at a new time this year, 8 a.m. our time. Plus, MLB Network has the Braves and Dodgers tonight at 9 p.m., so catch that. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our In Case You Missed It segment, and we got a good one. Stay with us.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, you better believe we're going to Crawford Buck the shit out of this thing.
Hell yeah.
That is Astros color commentator Jeff Blum, who had a little bit of a hot mic moment as the Astros were playing the Mariners. He said they were going to, quote, Crawford Bach the out of it.
Yeah.
Nothing bad, nothing salacious at all. In fact, Crawford, as you can imagine, Crawford Bach and Carbach Brewery has had a lot of fun with it on Twitter. So has Jeff. He changed his name on Twitter to Blummerbach.
I like it.
All's well in the hot mic world.
He tweeted, "My apologies for the hot mic moment. I can get a little spicy in between innings." Yeah, look, I think that's a fantastic verb. I'm going to Crawford Bach the bleep out of
you. Yeah, Jeff's awesome. Jeff is like everything that's right in the world.
Sounds
he
like
and his wife,
weekend.
Corey, are awesome. And big Jeff Blum fans over here at ESPN 97.5. All right, this is our In Case You Missed It segment. There's a lot that happened over the weekend. Paul, you want to go first?
Yeah, so the Houston Gamblers played a football game.
Houston? Question mark?
No, it was in Birmingham. No. Oh. Also, it was a tough watch. I mean, it was cool to see Jeff Fisher on the sideline for the Michigan Panthers. He's got a backwards hat on, and it was cool to see the Gamblers' defense play the way that they did. They had a long fumble return for a touchdown, but it was a slop.
And this is USFL, right?
Yeah, it's USFL. Look, if it's going to be this messy of a game, I want to be able to at least go. I think the game started an hour late because of inclement weather in Birmingham, and is this a fun product to watch? I don't know. I like some of the novelties that they're doing. Definitely passes the time, but in a weekend where the NBA playoffs are on and the Astros are playing, you know, my ex, the Mariners, who I may be in an open relationship with. Right. It's going to be on the back burner. Not exactly the most ideal weekend to kick things off, but it started. 3.5 million people, I guess, watched at peak hours on television, and there's cool cameras. They got helmet cams, they got drone cams, and locker room access. So
it was an interesting, it was an interesting broadcast, but if we're comparing the weird football leagues and the alternative, XFL, was the broadcast was better, it was more fun.
Yeah.
So hopefully when that comes back, that will bring back that.
The broadcast featured Chris Collinsworth's kid on play-by-play and Jason Garrett. So...
No, it did not.
It did. I remember I had the game on mute, and I was like, well, I'm okay with having it on mute. And that's nothing against Collinsworth, but it's 100%
against
Jason
Garrett.
Yeah,
I like both of those people, by the way. Very nice.
Garrett's boring as hell.
God bless it. All right, so Astros, Mariners, obviously. We saw Verlander just coming off Tommy John, in case you missed
he was
it.
Good.
He looked good.
87 pitches in 8 innings, 8 strikeouts.
I still can't get over the fact that Justin Verlander re-signed with the Astros.
And that he's looking
and
the same
way.
And
that he's so good. And I mean, this was unpredictable, but I love it. And I think that when you look at the fact that Lance McCullers Jr. is still out and we don't have a precise timeline, that's needed.
He went 8 scoreless with 8 Ks on less than 90 pitches for the first time since 1997, Greg Maddux, which is pretty significant considering Verlander is 39 years old. And he's also, Vanessa, been using that PitchCom thing.
That's what we found out this weekend. So PitchCom, for those who don't know, since they want to stop sign stealing at all costs, what they have now is where the catcher has this almost Star Trek contraption on their wrist, and you can press a couple of buttons, and it is fed to the pitcher into their ear to tell them what pitch to throw and where to throw it. And Verlander actually tried it out, and he said, yeah, he actually liked it. I mean, if that's the result that he's getting and he's pitching at a quick pace, which is even more important, then great. That means that PitchCom could actually speed up the game a little bit, which I think baseball needs a whole lot of because there's been too many long games thus far.
Absolutely. All right. In case you missed it, this weekend the NBA playoffs happening. Obviously an awesome Celtics-Nets game that we've already talked about. If that is what we're going to see this series with Kyrie Irving talking smack, scoring 39 points, and then Jason Tatum with the last second shot, I'm here for it. I love it.
Yeah, that game was great. And I wonder what happens in a game where Durant actually plays well because Durant struggled. They did really well defensively, just beating the hell out of him. And that's, I think, what I like the most about this game. The refs really let them play. It was an extremely physical game, and I think basketball should be a lot more physical. I think we've gotten to a point where now there's a little bit too much, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hashtag load management.
Right. Well, the load management thing, that's one thing, but this is...
I hate load management. I'm anti-load management in basketball.
I get it, though. You know, I'm against it myself, but I have much more of an issue with players who have no honor who just flop to get fouls. Right. It's like, sorry, you're not an Italian soccer player. Like, stop with this. Like, hey, what's going on with me? You know, like, I hate watching that in a game. We also have seen a pretty interesting start to the Timberwolves and Grizzlies series, because that's a series you're probably thinking out. You're like, whatever. But no, it's got Ja Morant and it's got Anthony Edwards on Minnesota, who's a really fun, hilarious player. But we also had, once again, Vanessa, for the second time in like less than a week, another protester on the court at the Timberwolves game, because they're protesting something that the owner's doing with chickens or something like that. But
he sold the team. He doesn't own the team anymore.
But this is the best possible place for awareness. And I feel like I might be liable, Vanessa, because the lady, this time, instead of gluing her hand to the court, this time she chained herself to the basket, which is what I said she should do. No, it was somebody else. I mean, they got an army. They got an army of people that are going to these games and are just getting thrown out.
There's a conspiracy theory about PETA that I almost believe in, which is PETA was started by meat companies to make like vegetarians and vegans look crazy and help endorse their product. It wasn't actually started by people that hate meat at all.
So PETA's making people eat
because
more meat.
Think about the ridiculous things that PETA does, the ridiculous campaign ads that they've run, how often they get made fun of.
Huh.
It's not the craziest thing.
Yeah, it's basically the idea is that it's a false flag. And
you've
that
heard it too.
Yes. That it is like doing the opposite of PR for veganism or vegetarianism, which in turn puts money in the Oscar Mayer wiener's pocket.
I'll listen to this. I mean, clearly you two need tinfoil hats for this segment, but I know. I'll put on one.
I do think there was a second shooter with JFK. Thank you. But
now we're opening up a real camera. Yeah. How about that? Well,
did we go to the moon? I don't know.
If you've watched the documentaries, it's like, wait, how? The bullet was magic. My bad.
But
thanks, Arlen Specter.
I could see that.
Did you see how they carried her out of the arena? Like they carried her out like she was a ladder. Like they had her like under her arm, like under their arm, like sideways. And she was a big lady too. Like that could not have been easy. Whoever the bouncer was that carried her out, that was a strong man.
In case you missed it, I had a birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday.
It was fun. I'm going to celebrate probably at a later date just because it's been kind of a heavy month for me, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I had a really relaxing birthday. It was the anti-Paul Gallant birthday.
Well, you know, it can't all be me.
At what age are you too old to have a Paul Gallant birthday?
I don't know. I hope I'm never too old for that.
Is the question.
I want
a birthday where
myself.
You lose your belongings, wake up on the couch.
Oh, I didn't lose my belongings. I lost them the weekend before.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a little bit different.
In the spirit of Paul Gallant.
it wasn't that weekend. Come on now.
But it was fun. I got a lot of nice tweets, a lot of nice messages from our listeners/viewers. So thank you guys. It was a good birthday.
Well, that was great. Also, Coachella was this past weekend. Would you ever go to Coachella?
No.
No?
No,
So
that's like the music festival.
That's the music festival that's outside of Los Angeles where everyone goes and they all wear the crazy stuff and that you have surprise performances that take place just about every single year.
Here's the thing. I'm actually really passionate about live music. Both my parents are musicians. I love it. I will not go anywhere where I have to wait 45 minutes for the bathroom. where I have, which is a porta potty at Coachella.
Oh yeah.
Where I have to fight for cell phone service.
Oh no, well, that's
just the whole music festival mentality is miserable to me.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
And I love a good concert, and I love a music festival in a controlled environment. But am I going to wear spandex with glitter on my face talking about how I was born in the wrong generation while I have no cell phone service, have to wait 45 minutes for the bathroom, an hour for a drink, it's uncomfortable, and I'm surrounded by 21? No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Wow, you're not even that far removed from the 21-year-olds.
I know, and I still...
I mean, I'm not going to even say anything.
Because you would.
You're just going to make fun of me.
Because that's Paul's bread and butter.
Paul likes 22-year-olds. What's wrong with that, you?
Going to a music festival.
You're gross.
Paul is the guy walking around with water bottles like, hey, sweetheart.
Oh, hang on. Come on.
No, he's not. He's not creepy.
No, although I did go to a festival and I wasn't wearing a shirt the last day because it was hot. It was Vegas.
Oh. Because it was hot.
I looked good, too. So
Paul's like, you're just really mature.
I had to go back to Seattle, and I didn't have any reason to not wear a shirt for the rest of the year. So I was like, this is my last chance. I'm going to go out. No shirt.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are wearing our shirts, much to the dismay of some of the people on Twitch. But we're talking about the Astros, because the Astros are going to have their home opener tonight. They're hosting the Angels. It should be fun. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
¿Estás buscando tu próximo Kia? No le des más vueltas. Visita el Kia de Port Charlotte, la tienda número uno Kia en el suroeste de Florida. Ahora, arrienda un nuevo Kia Sorento 2026 por solo $195 al mes. O arrienda un nuevo Telluride 2025 por solo $299 al mes. Además, siempre obtienes hasta $5,000 más por tu vehículo de intercambio. Sin trucos, solo una compra de auto sorprendentemente fácil. Compra en línea en kiaofportcharlotte.com. Llama al 732-456-6191 para más detalles.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.